He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good morning to our listeners for this week's show of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. We are getting into summer weather, which is nice. I have conducted a couple of, I've had an interview since the last show with a family that owns two electric vehicles, which I'll get back to in a moment. And I have conducted a personal miles per gallon test on a regular round trip I make between here and New Canaan. In my Hyundai Hybrid, the major change between the two tests, which will be the nut of the report, is that I changed the average speeds I travel on the state roads and the interstate roads by reducing them on the second time to see what it would do to the miles per gallon average. Back to the first one. I encountered a woman who was getting into her Rivian SUV, the big one, and I collared her for a 10-minute talk about how she liked it. Turns out I hit a really great example of somebody who was just totally satisfied with it. Not that I don't know that anybody isn't totally satisfied with them, but by the time I got through, I learned that she's had it for 2.5 years and has done nothing to it. And it has a range, she says, and she's very intelligent about it. She said the range is around 325 miles, and it drops to like 265 to 285 in the winter time. This is a Rivian, as our listeners, our knowledgeable listeners know, and everybody else will now, is totally electric. The second car they have in their family is a Polestar / Volvo vehicle, which is a plug-in hybrid. Example of the Polestar vehicle. They've also had that for a couple of years, and they love that as well. The major difference being, and this is the key to my interview, is that they keep the Polestar plug-in hybrid, which has a gasoline motor override, for the exact reason that I have been talking about the range anxiety factor many people holding off buying a total electric car. And she brought it up as the reason they keep it, because sometimes they go on 500-mile trips. And when they do that, they go in the Polestar if it's a day trip, because they don't want to spend time looking for electric plug-in places. Not that they're not hard to find, because the maps are all in the Rivian system, but sometimes it's inconvenient. Because they may not be available or whatever. So those are the two vehicles they have. They've got the gasoline electric plug-in. They get 50 miles, around 50 miles per electric plug-in for sole electric use, which she says we sometimes don't you go any further than 50 miles a day for up to a couple of months, and it has an indicator that flashes on the dashboard saying your gas is getting, words to the effect of, probably not exactly as I'm going to relay it, the gas is getting old, replenished with fresh gas. There's two highly satisfactory vehicles owned by one family. Jay, you got any comment?
Yeah, sure. Speaking of Rivian, we know the Rivian, the R1S and R1T, so the SUV version and the truck version have been out for 2 or 3 years now, 2.5 right. years, not quite sure. And Rivian has been announcing the R2, which will only be an SUV. There is no truck in the future, I believe. And further down the road, the R3, which will be smaller yet. The R2 really looks like a smaller R1. In fact, when you see pictures of it, it's virtually impossible. I can't tell the difference between the R1S, the SUV, and the R2, the new SUV coming out. And it was announced to be available as a 2027 model. And sure enough, Rivian has delivered on their promise, and you can now order a R2 online with their configurator.
Deliveries are expected around when?
So the top of the line And I hope, part of me hopes not too many people are listening to this because I don't know if there's gonna be a long wait line or not. And I think it's a great opportunity for many people, including myself. The R2, they have three levels of performance, or three trims, if you will. There is the performance, is the highest level, which comes with it is all-wheel drive and comes with around 650 horsepower and a range of 330 miles. The premium, which is the mid-grade version, is a 450 horsepower, also all-wheel drive, and also with a range of 330 miles. And then the quote-unquote entry-level vehicle is a rear-wheel drive, single motor only, which is has about 300, or exactly 350 horsepower. Also has a range of 330 miles, I believe. I think in two-wheel drive version, it may be a little bit more, maybe 345. But all versions do, all-wheel drive versions get 330 mile range.
Interesting.
Yes, and you know, I've always advocated that nobody needs the high performance electric vehicles because they're crazy fast, unnecessarily fast, uncomfortably fast in acceleration. But yet, in the case of the R2, the difference in price is really very slight at this point. So, the top of
What,
the line.
between the models, Jay, or between the R1 and the R2?
No, between the R2. So the
Yeah.
R2 is basically coming out. The top of the line R2 is basically the performance version is coming out at under $60,000. Whereas a R1, I have not checked the prices,
No, I haven't either. I can't
but
tell you what.
they're hovering around 100. You can get an R1 under $100,000, but if you're looking at the performance versions, you're certainly over $100,000. Or well equipped R1 is around $100,000. And let's keep this figure. So you're comparing 60,000 to 100,000. That is
Yeah,
a
that's a big
huge
difference.
difference. That's a huge difference. And the $60,000 top of the line price, puts this SUV, fully electric SUV, in right smack in the market, along with Audis, Teslas, you name it, even less luxury brand
Marquis
nameplates.
and Hyundai, for example.
Yes,
Although
absolutely.
they're
Even
even
though.
lower.
Yeah. Well, like I haven't checked the price on the Kia EV9, but
Right.
anyway, this R2 is ex very competitive in its pricing, and the launch editions of these vehicles do include certain features that will certainly be made optional in the future. So the performance version comes with autonomous driving, which honestly I don't know what how sophisticated it is on the Rivian, but it is included. The tow package is included. Paint colors other than silver are optional. But still, you can order an R2 performance for $60,000, and you
Right.
can order a two-wheel drive version with 350 horsepower for under $50,000, or whereabouts. So it's extremely competitive and it's extremely tempting, and I will leave it at that. It takes a $100 deposit upon registration and ordering, which we can
Okay.
do.
I want to go back to your comment about acceleration needs. I forgot to go into the performance pleasure that this family has with their Rivian. The woman who's of the family was a person I encountered. She knows a lot about the Rivian. She just says that one of the things she loves about it when she's driving it in bad weather is that when she's behind, she used the word big trucks as the vehicle that she was being annoyed with. She just loves the accelerative factor of the electric cars in general, but her Rivian, because it enables her to pass much more safely to get around these vehicles that get her angry when she's plowing along behind them and eating their spray from their big wheels. So I thought that was an interesting way to pose a satisfactory comment on the car. And instead of talking about, you know, entering the highway and getting up to highway speed the way we have said all electric cars do very well, she was using the passing ability, the safeness of the passing ability of the of her Rivian as a big safety feature that she likes a lot. The other thing.
So hold on a second. Let me go on a couple of tangents with acceleration here, and a few things come to mind as we get over this first summerish weekend of driving,
right,
which brings out the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, first of all, you just brought it up. You know, yes, you can accelerate. Acceleration can be a safety factor, right? And what I found, I had to tow a pretty, you know, substantial trailer that I tow around. So driving in the right lane on Route 8 between Bridgeport and here, and with a number of on-ramps and off-ramps. And invariably, driving in the right lane at totally normal speed, so highway speed, but, you know, within the speed limits, or very slight margin thereof, people getting on the highways, first of all, do not put their turn signals, and then you can see them coming on the on-ramp, and then either just are crawling or even slow down as they are merging on the highway. No, you need to get up to speed. And this is the one thing electric cars do. Like, almost instantly, just step on that right
pedal
and merge. So in all the auto driving features, I think the auto signal might be a useful one. So I'm done with that little rant, but also
the auto signal. What is the auto signal?
What's the auto signal is something, a feature I would like to see on all cars where, you know, as you merge, the signal turns on whether you like it or not.
Well, how do you, how, I'll say,
I don't know. I'm just being,
I don't know either. You design it and come back and tell us more.
Yeah. The other,
Let me
okay. 2 seconds with the acceleration thing. It brings me on this whole summer driving thing, and we've seen the signs around our area, specifically around the racetrack here, where people are asked not to accelerate, make noise. A lot of aftermarket exhaust on cars and motorcycles, but also some of the stock exhausts on some performance vehicles just pop and crackle and just make a lot of noise and attract attention. And even if you're not really driving or accelerating all that hard, they just make unnecessary noise. And yes, you would hope that people, as we get into summer weather and open windows and people outside, refrain from doing that. Having said that, I have a sports car too, and it is sweet to hear the sound of the sports car. But so let's go do that in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. I want to get close on the Rivian story, because the other factor that this woman is very pleased with is the extremely personalized and excellently connectable service part of the Rivian organization. She says it takes no time to get a live person on the line. They are very, very appreciative of anybody talking to them about their Rivian, and they will come. And she's had a couple of calls, house calls, I guess. I don't know whether it was technological or not, but she said they were very responsive in a quick and efficient manner. So Rivian's got a lot of good aspects to not only the vehicle, but apparently the after sales component of their corporation, at least in this woman's eyes.
So I tend to compare, you know, Rivian and Lucid are both like Tesla, you know, startup electric car companies, right? And I have faith in Rivian because, and I've said this all along for the last 5 years, you know, their connection with Amazon and the fact that they are geared to produce this 100,000 commercial vehicles for Amazon, you know, the goofy looking one that's actually a great delivery vehicle, that we actually now see a little all over the place.
Yeah, we do.
And the difference between Rivian and Lucid, I mean, Lucid makes a great sedan. I mean, I think it's a beautiful car. I've driven one. I think it's great. The Rivian, Lucid just also came out with the their SUV, which personally I don't particularly like. I mean, it looks a little like a minivan.
It doesn't,
It's
yeah, it doesn't.
also, it is a great vehicle. I mean, the objectively a great vehicle, but these are two vehicles that trade like right around $100,000or way more in some cases.
New.
And you know, we read these articles about Lucid losing, I think it was $1 billion last quarter. So you have to wonder what the long-term future is for a company like
Lucid.
Lucid. Yeah.
Well, I've had very limited encounters of Lucid owners, only two maybe at the most, and neither of them came away being. They all love the car
Yep.
in theory, but I would say that the qualitative condition of the Lucid vehicles that the owners I encountered were versus this woman who is just ecstatic about her Rivian quality and everything beyond it is not as positive. And I don't think, and I think the Lucid vehicles are not selling at anywhere near the rate that Lucid would like to have them selling. Which is probably why they're losing so much money per vehicle and corporatively in a quarter. I've seen a few more around here. Not, I don't think I've seen more than a half a dozen Lucids in any given weekend around here, and that's probably from visitations of the vehicles from maybe some of our school parents, prep school parents, to come and visit their kids. But they are both, I agree with you, they're both very interesting and in fact very attractive vehicles from two companies that I really hope succeed. I think Rivian's on their way to being okay. Lucid, you may or may not disagree, is probably still has a question mark over it. It doesn't have the backing of Amazon for sure in terms of financial power.
Well, it has a lot of Saudi money, but
Yeah,
still,
I know, but it's
even that comes, you know, at some point.
okay. I want to go to my second thing, and then I want to turn it over to you, Jay, if I can get this done quickly. I, as at the beginning of the show, I said I make a day almost sometimes daily during the week round trip, 125-mile round trip,
You're a
total
commuter.
commuter, and I am been going with the gas prices being the way they are. I've been using my Hyundai hybrid, which is between a 35 and 45 mile per gallon per tank full has that capability, which do the math with a 15 plus minus gallon gas tank gives you a lot of miles between fill-ups. the trip, but I've done it over 2 days now. I took a Sunday trip southward from here to New Canaan. And I decided I was going to, instead of going 62 on 22, I was going to go between 57 and 58 miles an hour on cruise control down the 22 portion of the trip. And then when I got on 684, instead of going 72, which is what I usually do in 684, I decided to do it at 68. And the miles per gallon for that trip at those lower speeds went from 38.6 miles per gallon to 40.6. That is 2 miles per gallon better, or yeah, 2 miles per gallon better, which would give you a 30 miles extended range over the tank over what it did when I was going at the 72, 62 and 72 mile per hour speeds on those two roads. It's a minor thing to think about, but there's so much news about from AAA and from other people about how you can get better mileage in this state, this time era of $4 to $6, $4.50 and up per gallon gasoline. My wife was in Chicago. It, 6 gallon a regular is $6 a gallon in Chicago proper. She had to fill up her daughter's car. And I think she said it's cost $70 by the time she got through, which means she had to be putting 14 or so gallons in, whatever it comes out to be, 70 plus or minus dollars. So, and I was behind somebody today on my trip northward from New Canaan, who was definitely in a big truck, and they were definitely mileage. They were trying to do high mileage driving of their vehicle. They were slowing down when a light went red ahead of their arrival at it, so they could try to creep along without stopping completely. The light would turn green, and instead of accelerating quite quickly up to the available speed limit or beyond that they would normally do, they were crawling. And I was behind it, so I know what was going on. And one time they stopped, they crawled the way back up to the 55 mile an hour range. It probably took them a mile to get their truck back up to that speed. So I knew why they were doing it. Enough on that. Jay, your list.
My
Blonde
list.
drivers.
Well, I hate to turn this show into a rant, but
Go ahead. You're good at it.
no, again, first weekend of, or I'm not first weekend of summer driving, but yeah, kind of. I went to a car show yesterday, in the southern part of the state, and I was towing a trailer, as I mentioned. So I saw quite a bit of traffic. And these are the things you see. You see a lot of motorcycles out. We had a bad crash. I don't have the details, but right here in our area,
Oh,
I
we
think
did.
on Friday night we had a motorcycle, pretty bad motorcycle crash. We were coming up Route 8 on Sunday afternoon, and there was a pretty bad crash involving a motorcyclist. And there were quite a few motorcycles on the road, and I not. At some point on the road, we got passed by a couple what we call crotch rockets. So not your Harley type of motorcycle, but more racy, sporty, faster motorcycles. And these two guys were really hauling, and one of them was riding without a helmet, and riding probably at speeds of weaving through traffic at 90, 100 miles an hour. It startled me when the guy passed me on the right as I was trying to get back in the right lane. My point is, there's going to be quite a bit of that, unfortunately, and you do have to keep your eyes peeled. And if you happen to be riding a motorcycle, you cannot convince me that it is a good idea to not
Wear a
be
helmet.
wearing a helmet. If it is a good idea to be skiing with a helmet, and it is, and if it's a good idea to be riding a bicycle with a helmet, it sure as heck is a good idea to be wearing one when riding a motorcycle.
I don't believe Connecticut has a helmet law.
I don't.
And I'm appalled at the number of motorcyclists that I see not wearing helmets. And I don't know, okay, they can do it. Technically, I believe, but boy, it sure is dangerous because there's nothing to protect them if anything goes imperfectly in their trip on their motorcycle.
So anyway, I was at a car show, and it was a Porsche themed, and it was actually called Porsches and Pints, which it was at a brewery, and you might think it looked to me like people were drinking responsibly. But people spent a good chunk of the day there,
Drinking.
looking at each other's cars and drinking beer. And I did not have a single one until I got home, but. So, if you do go to car shows, I mean, it's always fun to see. And it is the season where we're going to see more and more car shows. Speaking of which, we know there's a big Trans Am weekend at our local track. And if you are not well versed into auto racing in general, Trans Am cars are about as exciting and impressive racing vehicles you're going to see. But I do have to warn people around here, they're also the loudest things you're likely to hear all year.
How do those Trans Am vehicles fit on the track? Not very
What do you mean,
well.
how do they fit?
Well, they're big cars.
But yeah, they're not tractor trailers, they're
They're
cars.
not F1s, or they're not. I mean,
No, but they're race cars. I mean, they're
I
still the
understand
size of a
that, but
car.
the straightaway is not like Daytona 500 or the curves. It's two lane, right?
Well, you can try to go three wide, it's racing.
Okay. Anyways.
No, they're very powerful cars. These cars are going to hit like 900 horsepower, and there's going to be a pretty strong field of them. It's going to be loud. It's going to be impressive. I've seen it's some of the best racing you can witness in any series anywhere. And it, you know, they're engine wise, they're similar to what we'll see in the stock car trucks that will be coming, I think, sometime in July. And the noise levels would be about the same. But
Okay.
I think the racing will be better, in my opinion.
Yay. I'd like to get you before we close. What are flock cameras as
Well,
far as tracking devices? You've got a list here. Listeners would like
flocks
to know what our
is,
tracking devices are now.
well, flock cameras are popping up everywhere in the country and basically picking up your license plate. And Flock sells subscriptions to municipalities, HOAs, police forces, federal, state, local, and basically, you know,
They can
for
read your
any.
license plate, right, really quickly and decide whether you're properly registered or not. Is that what they are
Well,
doing?
it just enters the license plate in the database. But if somebody who has access a subscription to the database goes and puts your license plate in it, it can
Pop
generate
up.
the history of where your car has been. So it's a huge invasion of privacy, and there have been a lot of privacy concerns. And it just boggles my mind. We have a big problem in this country about putting speed cameras. But yet we're allowing Flock to put cameras everywhere and basically doing the same thing. And yeah, it basically Big Brother knows exactly where you are when you are there.
Well,
And
they've been, I believe that they're the same cameras that are sometimes on the trunks of the New York State Police and maybe even the Connecticut State Police, and they can park on the side of the road, and these cameras can read the
yes.
license plates almost instantaneously. And if they are unregistered, the police can go and get them for non-registration and all the history, as you said, that they may already have online.
Yeah, and they can use that for anything. They can use that for ticketing in parking zones. And but this goes a step way further because these cameras are fixed and basically they're everywhere. I mean, you can buy one, put one in your house if you want.
Well, that may be true, but I just I
And
realize
control who
that's what the
accesses
state
your
police is
driveway.
using. Yeah.
So I mean, just people read a little bit about it. I find it a little bit disturbing, but there we have it. And it brought me to something else, you know, the whole debate about should you put GPS trackers on your teen driver, children's, in your kids' cars or in your cars, and should you let your kids know that you're tracking them, or should you have the discussion with them, or should you just not tell them? But that's, you know.
Well, that goes along with the controls you could put on a car, limiting its top speed too, I think, in some of these newer cars. So that if you have a driver in your family that you would like to know is driving safely, I believe there is a way to program a speed limiting factor in that car.
Yeah, but and by the same token, I know a young lady who, as her first car, just got a 1998 Mustang GT, and that, you know, with obviously parents' help and knowledge of this, and if the parents are confident, it means that I you know, you got to give a shout out both to the kid and the parents for allowing this to happen. And they're probably doing this, and it's probably very responsible. I know she's a very responsible kid. So I think good parenting can do without the trackers, but that's just my personal opinion on this.
Well, as long as she knows how to drive it properly and responsibly, I guess it's fun to have that kind of car at
Well,
your.
if she drives as well in the real world as she does in the virtual world, she's going to be a really good driver.
Okay. What else do you have? I think we're close to closing.
Well, I'm close to closing too. You know, again, safety precautions as we get into summer. A lot of bicycles, a lot of
It's a
motorcycles.
big race at Lime Rock on Saturday, or is it on Monday?
No, race weekend is Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week.
Okay, so there's no follow crossover through Sunday and then the big race on Memorial Day.
We can all go to the parade on Monday.
Okay. I guess we're about ready to close this week's version of Car Keys. So until next time, this is Jay DeMarkin and Robin Leach.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.